808. Okay. It's good to see everyone this morning. Glad that we have this opportunity to worship the Lord and that we have the privilege of being able to do so together. We're grateful for everyone who's here. It's good to see Brother McMurray here, who served as an elder and a deacon for years. The congregation here, first time he's able to be back. It's good to see as people get the vaccine and other circumstances change where they're able to come back and be with us in person. Still appreciate those who are watching us online, and hopefully things will be able to change to the point where we can physically be in the same place, in a safe place once again. Has that ever happened to you when maybe some part of your body stops working and it makes you realize that it's there? You know, maybe you pull a muscle in your back, maybe you hurt your foot or your hand, and it throws everything off. You can't even do something as simple as walk because of that one body part. I remember when I was a kid, I stepped on a nail, and for the next few days, my foot was really sore. And it dawned on me that I never even thought about the bottom of my foot. I was young, but I never even thought about it. When it works, you don't even think about it. And then all of a sudden, it doesn't work, and that's all you can think about because you just can't function. How many parts of a body does it take a body of Christ, the church of Christ, the church here at Jordan Park, for us to do something as simple as worship God? Have you ever thought about the air conditioner or the heater or the lights or the scrolling of the song in the proper timing so that we can read the words? Or the emblems in the Lord's Supper, or the hundreds, thousands of things that work in harmony for us to do something as simple as worship. And sometimes we don't even think about it until something doesn't work. And it makes us stop and realize just how thankful we are, how much we should appreciate all of the small little things that just happen because that's the way they're supposed to happen. We've got a lot of servants here. In fact, everyone, every member of the body of Christ here at Jordan Park participates in the worship service. And everyone has an essential part in that functioning together as one, as a body. And in particular, we have deacons who are specially assigned, specially appointed servants who do a tremendous amount of work in the background that we don't even think about usually so that everything works so smoothly. We've been in the process of selecting new deacons. We talked about the work of deacons in this last lesson. In this lesson, we'd like to focus in on the essential character traits, the essential qualifications that are given to them. If you have your New Testaments, please open them to the book of 1 Timothy, the letter that Paul wrote to the evangelist Timothy, when he's given instructions concerning what type of individuals are to be chosen. And we're going to read verses 8 through 13. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be proved, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wives, ruling their own children in their own houses well, for those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. If we were to come up with a list of deacons, what qualifications, what qualities are necessary for an individual to be specially designated as a servant of this church, we might very well come up with a different list But you know, it wasn't asked of us to come up with a list. It's not our church. It's the church of Christ. Jesus has come up with this list. And so it's important for us, as we're going through this process, to keep a specific eye on what does Jesus want? What qualities does Jesus select as important for an individual to have to be appointed to this job? So, in our lesson, we're going to just go through the list and kind of define our terms and make sure that we are looking at what Jesus asks us to look at. He begins with, likewise, deacons must be. He's making a comparison here in chapter 3 and verse 1, or verse 2 it says, the bishop then must be, and he goes through a list of qualities that are necessary for a bishop to have. Likewise, just like a bishop must have certain qualities, a deacon must have certain qualities. Notice that it's not in future tense. It doesn't say the deacons will at some point in his life in the future have, nor does he look in the past. The deacon at some point in his life must have been or must have had this quality. No, present tense. Elders must be. Deacons must be. So these are all qualities that an individual must have. Now it's interesting as we look through this list, it doesn't say anything about the financial status of the deacon. It doesn't say anything about his secular education. Doesn't say anything about his business success. You know, we might think those are important. You know, if an individual is going to be a deacon, well, he has to have a certain diploma. He must have a certain skill set, must have a certain amount of financial, because that's going to say that, or it's going to imply that. We might be able to make some argument as to why we put none of that is here. You know what is emphasized, though? Character. Character is what's important to Jesus. Always has been, always will be. When you look at the qualifications of deacons, of elders, the same thing. He talks about care. He talks about morality. The same thing is true when he talks about the deacons here. And notice that he says that the deacons must be. These are not options. It's not 2 out of 3 is not bad. It's not. These are qualities that must be adhered to, must be possessed. Presently by the deacon. And it's interesting in contrast to the bishops or to the elders. In 1 Timothy 3, there are 16 qualities that are mentioned of the elders. In Titus, there are 18 qualities that are mentioned of the elders. Here in the book of 1 Timothy, there are 9 mentioned of the deacons. And 6 of them are negative, and 3 of them are positive. The elders have some qualities that demonstrate, I think, a greater amount or a higher amount of maturity. For example, they must be apt to teach. It talks about that their children must be believers, which may indicate an older individual. But nonetheless, both of these sets are important and must be there. He says that likewise deacons must be reverent, or other versions have grave men of dignity, a life that shows an individual who fears God, who respects God, a characteristic of a man who is serious, who feels the responsibility and the weight of his responsibility toward God. You know, we looked at a couple of weeks ago, Deuteronomy chapter 31, about the concept of fear, fearing God, which is not just the emotion of fright or terror, but is coupled together with the respect, with the reverence. The individual who is a deacon is someone who is to be characterized by someone who is fearful of God. The opposite of reverent would be lighthearted, childish, irresponsible, frivolous. We don't want to give a special work, a particular responsibility to an individual, unless they have this quality of of reverence, of fear, of respect toward God. It says that they are not to be double-tongued, not two-faced, not double in speech, saying one thing to one person, another to another. Maybe someone who likes to play the crowd. If they're in the context with this group of friends, they might say one thing. But if they're in a group of another opposing group of friends, they change what they say. They say things that is going to please the crowd, a gossip, a slanderer. The opposite of this would be someone who is honest, who is reliable, who speaks the same thing, who speaks and does what he says he's going to do. One of the things that really hurts a church is a tongue that is uncontrolled, a tongue that is allowed to flap loosely, the tension that can be within a congregation, the discord that can sow is something that God wants us to stay away from. So an individual who is double-tongued is not qualified. You know, in the book of James in the third chapter, James talks a great deal about the tongue and the power of the tongue and that the necessity to control that tongue. It will never be tamed, but it can be controlled. An individual who is a deacon is someone who is to not be double-tongued, not given to much wine, not, some have it, addicted to wine. You know, in the first century, a table beverage was wine that was mixed with water. The water many times was not palatable, and so because of contamination or because of taste, and so an amount of wine, usually one part wine to eight parts water or one part wine to 10 parts water, the wine was added for taste and also for the cleansing or the destroying of the bacteria within the water, and so it would be more easily drunk. So an individual who is given to much wine, addicted to much wine, indicates someone who is not drinking it just as a table beverage, but is drinking it for the intoxicating quality that it has, and that individual is not qualified. The opposite of this would be someone who is sober-minded, being in control of his faculties. And obviously, all of these make sense. You would not want to give special responsibility to someone who is given to wine because, number one, it is sinful to be a drunk. But number two, an individual who is addicted to wine, to drugs, is an individual who is not master of his life but has a master that is going to cause him to be irresponsible. And therefore, that individual is not qualified. He says the individual must not be greedy for money or not greedy of filthy lucre or not fond of sordid gain. A man cannot obtain his money in an unlawful way, in a wicked way, in a selfish way, in a greedy way. Obviously, there are practical problems with this because many times a deacon has responsibility over a portion of the Lord's money and he needs to be trustworthy in the use of that money. He cannot be involved with unlawful practices with money. And obviously, in the first century, money was a huge problem. In our 21st century, money can be a huge problem as well. A lot of times individuals are so busy making money, they have no time for anything else. There must be a proper balance in life. An individual who does not have that balance is someone who is not qualified to be a deacon. He is someone who holds the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. It's interesting how he words the elder responsibility or the qualifications in Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. He says, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convict those who contradict. In the qualification of an elder, there is not only that he holds the faithful word as he has been taught, but also he's able to use that in convicting those that might teach something that is false. When it's talking about the deacon, it simply is talking about his own life, that he is holding the mystery of the faith properly. He is sound in his doctrine. He is in harmony with the will of God in what he believes and what he practices. And really, that's what holds us together, is it not? You know, it's not our allegiances politically or allegiances socially or our economic allegiances. What holds us together is the doctrine of Christ, the mystery of the will of God. And so an individual who is a deacon is someone who needs to have the maturity to hold that fast. And it's interesting how he says it here, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. In other words, he's practicing it so that he doesn't have a guilty conscience or a corrupt conscience. And in a sense, none of us can really see into the conscience of someone else. And so this is really somewhat for the deacon himself as well to be introspective of whether or not his conscience is pure, whether or not he is in fact living in harmony with the will of God, is practicing in a way that his conscience could be described as pure, not compromised. He says in verse 10, "But let these also first be proved, then let them serve as deacons." Now, I flip-flop back and forth as to what exactly this means, but I'll give you two possible reasons or explanations of what this means. The first one is, first let him be proved, and then let him serve. You give a guy a job, and you see whether or not he carries out that job. You see whether or not he's going to be responsible enough to fulfill it. If the guy doesn't carry out the job when you give it to him, don't appoint him as a deacon, because that's his responsibility as a deacon to carry something out. You need to make sure that that individual is going to be shoulder that responsibility properly. So give him a job and see how it works. Now, how might that work practically to give him a job first? Well, in actuality, deacons don't start working when they are appointed. Deacons are workers who are appointed. So, if you are not a deacon, are you at work? Are you fulfilling your responsibilities? We're not going to give someone a responsibility to start working and begin to fulfill responsibilities if we don't first see that they're already busy at work in their lives. A second possibility is go through this process of looking out amongst yourselves and finding individuals that have these qualities. It is a proving process. So the congregation has this list of qualities that are necessary for an individual has, and they are comparing your life with those qualities. It is a proving process, a testing process. And if you have those qualities in the view of the congregation, then you are to serve. But that process needs to carry out. Now, the same thing as what we said with the elder process, selection process, let's be kind to one another. It's difficult for us as men to know that everybody's looking at my life and comparing it to the Word of God to seeing whether or not I measure up. That's a difficult process to go through because we all know our weaknesses. We all know the difficulties that we've had in our lives. So please be kind with that. At the same time, we need to uphold the standard that Jesus gave us. We don't need to dumb it down. We don't need to lower the standard that Jesus gave. It is a high standard. And therefore, we need to prove those men. We need to test those men. We need to see whether or not they have those qualities and then appoint them to serve if they have met that standard. And perhaps directly connected with this, but let these also first be proved, then let them serve as deacon, being found blameless in this process of looking at their lives, they need to have a character that an accusation doesn't stick. There's not something that someone can say that they have done something wrong, said something wrong, have some quality in their life, and that be valid or that be credible. They need to be blameless in the eyes of God. He says, likewise, their wives must be. It's interesting that in this list, he doesn't just give qualities of the man, but he also gives qualities of the wife. That partnership is going to be extremely important as he carries out his work. And this, perhaps, since it's in the context here of bishops and deacons, is a set of qualities for the elders' wives as well, but nonetheless, it is right in the middle of the deacons, right in the middle of the qualities of the deacons. And it starts with likewise. These are not options, but these qualities are necessary for the wife to have as well, for her husband to be qualified. And so it says their wives must be reverent. It means to be prudent, dignified, quiet, of sound judgment, not giddy. A word that points to the seriousness of purpose and self-respect in conduct. It is an attitude of mind that reflects a fear, reflects a respect for God. It's interesting that it's the same quality that's given to her husband. And it's also interesting that it's the first of the man's and it is the first of the woman's. And that is that she needs to have the proper respect for God. She needs to be reverent in her demeanor toward God and therefore toward the work. It says that these wives are not to be slanderers, not to be, other translations have, malicious gossips, accusing falsely. The reference is to those who are given to find the fault with the demeanor and conduct of others, spreading their innuendos and criticisms in the church. It's interesting that this word slanderers is from the Greek word diabolos, from which we get the word devil. The devil is a slanderer. He is the leader of slanderers. And if a man is to be qualified, his wife cannot be guilty of slandering, of gossiping. It's interesting the connection between the second quality that is given to the deacons, and that is he is not to be double-tongued, and it says that the wife is not to be slanderers. Backbiting and talebearers are destructive to the congregation. It is something that undermines the work, and therefore the tongue and having control of the tongue is extremely important for both the man and also for his wife. It says that she is to be temperate, sober, calm, dispassionate, circumspect. They must be sound in their thinking. It means they are temperate, self-controlled, self-possessed. It has to do with the condition of the mind and attitude. It's interesting that this third quality is connected to or similar to the third quality given to the deacon. They are not, and here's the negative, not to be given to much wine, not to be addicted to wine because he has the wrong master. But in a positive sense, the wife is to be temperate. The wife is to be sober-minded. The wife is to have control of the faculties of her mind. And those also going to be important for her as she works with her husband as being an appointed deacon. It says that she is to be faithful in all things. It means trustworthy in all things, in every phase of their lives. Wives of the officers of the church must be faithful to God in all of their relations as Christians. She must be a faithful Christian in living, faithful in fulfilling her place within the church. It is similar to the qualities that are demanded of her husband, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and that he is to be blameless. These are kind of summation words. Same is true with the wife, that she is to be faithful in all things. And once again, I would ask, as we are going through this process, please be compassionate toward the women, because I am sure that for a woman to know that the congregation is looking through her life and looking at her attitudes and her character to see whether or not she measures up to this standard that the Lord gives. It is a difficult process to go through, and we need to be careful about being too judgmental or strict. But at the same time, we need to respect the standard that Jesus has given it. We don't need to lower it in order not to hurt someone's feelings. We need to hold these standards as the standard that must be met in order for the process, in order for an individual to be appointed as a deacon. Getting back to the men, he says, let deacons be the husband of one wife. This implies that he's got to be a man. A male is necessary to have this position, this service of deacon. He must be married. He can't have more than one wife. And he can't be living with someone that he has no right to. Now, I think it's interesting that Paul is writing this, and Paul is a bachelor. Jesus is inspiring this, and Jesus was a bachelor. But he requires of the deacon that they be married. So you could make an argument that it would really be better for a man to be a deacon if he was if he wasn't married, if he didn't have a family to care for. But that's not what Jesus does. Jesus actually demands that the man be married. There are advantages. There is a strength that a man has. There is a training ground that the family is. And so it is required of a man that he is to have the stability that comes with being the husband of one wife. It says that he is to be ruling his children and his household well. Now, elders are to have believing children, which implies that they're old enough to become Christians. Deacons, since it says that he is to rule his house well, may imply that those children might be too young to be Christians. And so the standard of maturity is not as high for the deacons as it is for the elders. But nonetheless, it does say that they need to be well behaved, that he needs to be ruling well. And the word ruling means literally to stand before. So it does not say that the deacon is to stand next to his family. It doesn't say that the deacon is to stand behind his family. It says that he is to stand before his family. Now, I think the idea is that he is the leader. He is the one that's in control. He is the one that's the driving force. He is walking first along the pathway of goodness and righteousness, and he is making sure that his family is following, because it says that he rules well. He is not neglecting his children. He is not out of control by allowing the children to be in control of the house or allowing his wife to be in control of the house. He is the one that is ruling and ruling well. If an individual is going to be a representative of the church of the Lord, he's going to be an individual that is following the prescription that God has given for the family. And therefore, it must be shown in his life that he respects the Lord enough to follow his ways. So, why would an individual want to go through the scrutiny? Why would the individual want to take on the responsibility of being a deacon with all of the context that is involved? Well, Paul says, for those who have served well as deacons, obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. There is a standing, there is a respect that is given to that individual because he is worked and worked hard. We should encourage the deacons that we have. As I began the lesson, I talked about the fact that sometimes when things work so well, you don't even think about them. And so maybe the best compliment paid to the deacons that we have is that nothing is said to them because they're doing their work so well, nobody even notices it. But it would also be a sign of our maturity for us every once in a while to think about it. Think about all of the good work that's being done for everything to work. So this is a working congregation and needs to continue to be a working congregation. And for that to happen, we need individuals to take up the mantle, take up the responsibility, and work hard for the Lord, and allowing the Lord to be the center and the focus of our lives. Now, as you go out this morning, you're going to find on a chair on either side of the auditorium a piece of paper, and on that is a form that we would like for you to fill out. Now, on this form, it says that we encourage all members to participate, as Acts chapter 6 and verse 3 says, "Brethren, select from among you an appointment of additional deacons to serve the Jordan Park congregation. We will be identifying, selecting from a list you, the congregation, submit and sign. We would like for you to fill out the names and sign this so that we can continue in this process. Examples of the nature and type of work needed to be assigned for accomplishment are, we have several deacons who are doing a lot of good work, but we have more work than the deacons we have. And so some of the works that need to be specifically assigned are in the Bible correspondence course, the support by having someone who is dedicated to finding local churches for students who express interest in studying. Member support, that is the green book. We have had a book where individuals have jobs, maybe someone who is living alone or is a widow that has a job that needs to be done, and individuals who are willing to fill those jobs, the coordination of that. We need somebody in charge of that. Audiovisual networking, a great deal of work is already done in that, but there's a whole lot more work that can be done that we need some help with that. The security system and planning, indoor facility equipment operation, outdoor facility equipment operations, the preschool, grade school, teacher support, attendance in the classes and the worship services, etc., ushers and greeter monitor, visitor outreach, class teaching material database, monitor church email account, assistant webmaster, duty assignments, and others as well. There's a lot of work that needs to be done, a lot of work that continues to be done, and for us to work together as the body of Christ, we need to have individuals assigned to these. So please list below in the list, in the blanks that are given to you, men who you believe to be scripturally qualified and would be in the best position to serve, support this congregation. You may list one or as many as you would like. From your list, we, speaking of the elders, plan to meet with those qualified recommendations to determine their desires and ability to serve as additional deacons for Jordan Park. Remember, you must sign your list. These lists will be treated confidentially. So you're signing the list so that we understand who you are if there are questions that need to be asked about something on the form that you have filled out, but we are not going to broadcast your name and your selections to anyone else. Not going to make that personal at all. And then there are going to be blanks for you to fill in, place for you to sign. Please hand this completed form to one of the elders on or before Sunday, March 28th, 2021. So you have 14 days, you have 2 weeks in order to fill that out. Shouldn't take that long, but prayerfully and with the qualifications given to us in the Word of God in mind, go through the directory, look through the men who are here, and write down individuals that you believe are qualified to serve as deacons in this congregation. We will meet with those after we pull those statistics together, and we will have discussions about whether or not they were willing to serve and what areas they might serve in. We will then put that before the congregation for final approval, and then hopefully in very short order, we'll be able to appoint some more deacons. If you're not a Christian in the audience this morning, we would encourage you to come to the Lord. We are a working body here, a body that seeks to serve the Lord, and for you to be a part of that, you got to be born again into the family of God. And to do that, you hear the gospel that it is preached and believe in Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, confess, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins to begin a life of service unto the Lord. If you need to become a Christian, we'd encourage you to become one. If you need the prayers of the congregation here, we would also ask that you come forward and we will assist you the best we can. Won't you come?